Welcome back. In this lesson, we're building something I like to call a pirate signal edit, a dark, tight, subsign workflow that starts from a sample and gets reshaped into a clean, heavy, mix-ready bass part inside Ableton Live 12. And the vibe here is very specific. We're not just making a sub sound big, we're making it feel like a signal coming through a broken radio, then tightening that energy into a disciplined drum and bass low end that can actually survive a real arrangement. So think sample first bass design, with a little grime, a lot of control, and enough space left for the kick and snare to do their job. First thing, set the project like a proper D&B session. Put the tempo around 174 BPM. If you like rollers a little slower, 170 to 172 is fine, but 174 is the classic. Be honest with your editing tempo. Build your session around drums, bass, and a sample or texture lane. You also want a short room or dub delay return, and a reverb return that stays mostly for tops and atmospheres, not for the sub. That part matters. If you smear your low end in reverb, the whole track starts losing authority fast. Now, before we even think about sound design, get the drum context in place. A kick, a snare on 2 and 4, and maybe the basic break layer or some ghost percussion. This is important because in D&B, the bass is never really judged in solo. It's judged against the drum grid. If the bass feels amazing by itself but it's stepping on the snare, it's not doing its job. Next, find a source sample with some personality. This can be the pirate radio spoken snippet, a noisy bass one-shot, a rough sign like hum, or even a vocal fragment with that dirty radio tone. Import it into an audio track, trim it to the best section, and turn warp on. Use Complex Pro if it's tonal material, or Beats if it's more rhythmic. What we're looking for is a strong fundamental or a vowel-like resonance that can become the seed of the bass. Now here's the key mindset shift. You are not trying to keep the whole sample intact. You're extracting identity from it. That sample is the narrative, but it's not the final bass yet. Once you've found a useful slice, start cleaning it into something subsign friendly. A simple stock device chain works great here. Put a EQ8 on it first. High pass gently around 25 to 30 hz just to remove useless sub rumble. If the sample is muddy in the low mids, take a few dB out around 180 to 350 hz. Then add saturator with soft clip on and just a bit of drive, maybe 2 to 6 dB, while keeping the output level compensated. After that, use auto filter to low pass it if the source is too buzzy, maybe somewhere around 100 to 180 hz. Depending on the material. The goal is not to make it polished to death. The goal is to turn it into something that feels like low-end raw material. At this point, resample that processed result to a fresh audio track. In Ableton Live 12, this is a super useful move because it commits the sound and gives you a new file to work with. That commitment is part of the workflow. D&B low-end gets better when you stop endlessly tweaking and start printing decisions. Now build the true sublayer. You can do that with Simpler or Operator. If you want the cleanest, most reliable bottom, Operator is perfect. Initialize the patch, turn on oscillator only, set it to a sine wave, and tune it to your root note. If you want the sample to remain part of the actual tone, drop the resampled audio into Simpler instead, set it to classic mode, keep the start point tight, and shorten the release, so the note stops cleanly. For this pirate signal edit, the strongest move is to use both. Let the sample-derived layer carry the identity and character, and let a sign from Operator sit underneath as the stable utility sub. That way, you get the emotional texture without sacrificing low-end control. Group those into a bass group right away. That makes the mixing stage much easier, and it also helps you think in layers rather than in one giant bass sound. That's a big coach note for this style. The sub should behave like a utility layer. The pirate signal character is the performance layer. Now write the MIDI phrase. Keep it sparse. D&B bass usually works better when it's phrased like a sampled performance rather than like a constant synth line. Think in one bar or two bar ideas. Let the notes answer the snare, not fight it. A good starting point is a root note on beat 1, then a short offbeat response, maybe on the end of 2, or a lower note that leads into the next snare. This is where timing discipline matters. Pay close attention not only to note length, but to note start. If a note starts even a little late, the whole drop can feel sleepy. In darker D&B, bass often feels better when it's a touch eager. If needed, nudge the MIDI slightly earlier or tighten the audio clip start markers so the transient hits immediately. Keep the note lengths controlled. Around an eighth to a quarter note is often enough, depending on the movement you want. And leave micro gaps on purpose. Tiny rests before or after some notes can make the line feel more aggressive than non-stop holding ever will. Silence is part of the groove here. Once the phrase is working musically, start shaping the low end around the kick. On the bass group, use EQ8 to cut away anything that's not earning its place. If the character layer is crawling the sub, low pass it or trim some mids around 250 to 500 Hz. Add a little saturator to glue things together, but don't overcook it. Then use utility to keep the true sub mono and narrow. If you've got any stereo life, keep that higher up in the harmonics, not in the bottom octave. This is where you decide who owns the deepest point. If the kick is strong around 50 Hz, let the sub sit slightly higher or slightly lower depending on the key and the feel. The big rule is simple. Don't let kick and sub argue over the same spot unless that clash is part of the design. Otherwise, they just blur each other out. Now bring in movement, but do it with discipline. The pirate signal idea is about controlled motion, not wobble chaos. On the character layer, automate auto filter so the cutoff opens and closes across the phrase. Maybe move between 90 and 220 Hz depending on the section. Keep resonance low to moderate so it sounds like the bass is speaking, not squealing. You can also use a very short echo throw at the end of a phrase, just a little one. Filter it heavily so it doesn't cloud the bottom. That tiny bit of space can make the whole line feel more underground and alive without washing out the drop. If you want a little more menace, automate a narrow boost in the low mid presence area during fills, then pull it back for the main groove. That kind of contrast works beautifully in darker DNB, because it gives the listener a moment of extra tension right before the line settles again. Once the bass feels right, resample the whole bass group to audio. This is one of the best moves in a sampling-based DNB workflow. It locks in your decisions and lets you edit the bass like a sampled performance. After resampling, consolidate the best one or two bar section. Trim out dead air, and add fade so you don't get clicks. If a note overlaps a snare too much, cut it back. If you want tension, leave one longer note under a more open beat and let the drums push around it. At this point, you're not thinking like a synth programmer anymore. You're thinking like a break editor. That shift is huge. It's what turns a raw bass idea into something that feels intentional and DJ ready. Now think about arrangement. A solid DNB layout for this kind of bass might start with 16 bars of intro, where you only hear the texture or filtered top layer. Then an 8-bar build where the sub hints appear. Then a 16-bar drop with the tightened subsign line. After that, a switch section where you remove a kick, add an octave accent, or create a halftime style gap. Then another drop with a bit more aggression, a bit more automation, or a slightly different counter. The best thing you can do for repetition is change one thing every 4 or 8 bars. One note, one rest, one octave touch, one automation move. That's enough to keep it alive without losing the hook. And as a final mix habit, check the bass in mono, check it quietly, and check it loud. If it still reads quietly, your harmonics are doing their job. If it disappears completely at low volume, add a little more translation in an upper layer rather than just piling on more sub. If it blooms too much when loud, shorten the release or cut some low mid buildup. A few common mistakes to watch for: leaving the sample too long, making the sub too wide, overprocessing the low end, and forgetting to leave room for the snare. Also, don't ignore the kick's fundamental. Decide early whether the kick or sub owns the deepest point, then commit. And if you want to push this style further, try a few variations. Duplicate the phrase and add an octave accent only at the end of a fill. Twop the counter in the second half of a 2-bar phrase so it answers itself. Or remove the pure sub for a bar before the drop, so the return feels massive by contrast. Here's the core takeaway: start with a characterful sample. Tighten it into a usable sub source, keep the true low end mono and short, resample early, and edit the result like a performed part. In DNB, the best bass lines are not just heavy, they're tight, readable, and drum-aware. For practice, try building one 2-bar pirate signal edit from scratch. Pick a sample with identity, warp it, process it with EQ, saturator, and auto-filter, resample it, add a sine sub underneath, write a simple MIDI phrase with only 2 or 3 notes, and tighten the note starts until it locks to the snare. Then add one automation move, bounce it, and check it in mono. That's the workflow. Tight, dark, sample-driven, and ready to hit.